of your life if you will open your mouth. There was a day and an age when I heard these things and I believed them. They transformed and changed my life, but it wasn't long until I began to apply this as another law in my life. And when faith was good and it worked, I felt like I was good and things were working between me and God. And when I failed, I felt like a failure and I felt disapproval and distance from God. I'm so glad for Hebrews 13:5. You hear me quote it every single week. You ought to be able to quote it with me by now. Hebrews 13:5, where He has said that He will never leave us. Are you here today? That's Bible. That's New Covenant. That's the book of Hebrews. He will never, can you say never this morning, leave us nor forsake us, so that we can boldly say, come on, anybody boldly saying anything in the house today, boldly say. Last week we talked about two words in the book of Hebrews that are so awesome, that stand out, boldly and once. And how many learned for the first time that the meaning of bold in the Greek there means outspoken? Freedom of speech. How many knew that bold has to do with talking, saying some things in boldness? How many are glad for Jesus today? 2 Corinthians 4:13. Why don't you go ahead and turn there in your Bibles with me? I'm going to go ahead and read it. I've got it here, but I want us to get, you know, so often we will quote scripture, and I think it's a good thing, especially on these key scriptures, that you see these with me. Underline them. Go home and meditate. How many know that the word that you meditate on will change you? Not the word that I'm telling you that I'm meditating on. That's like listening to somebody else take a shower and you think you're going to get clean. We need to get under the spout ourselves. Amen. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Get there with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. Paul says, we having the same spirit of faith. Now, if you've been here with us several weeks, we looked at Caleb and Joshua. 12 spies were sent into a land that God had promised to Israel. 10 came back with an evil report, and it had so much to do with what they believed about themselves. For they even said, we were as grasshoppers in our own eyes, therefore we were as grasshoppers in theirs. The land is too great. The giants are too great. It's too hard. And we can't do what God said that we could do. We can't have what God said that we can have. They explained it away. And God was not happy, but there was one called Caleb. And the Bible says that Caleb had a different spirit. Can everybody say that this morning? Caleb had a different spirit. Now, if you're here this morning and you're born again and you've confessed Jesus as your Lord, I don't care where you're at right now or how rough it's been or how backslidden you think you are. If you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you haven't fully heard the gospel. If you can't today take confidence that when you put your faith in Him, and He became your Lord and Savior, something supernatural and eternal took place on the inside of you. Maybe the reason you're struggling so much today, I'm going to do a little side trip here if I can. Maybe the reason you're struggling so much today is you're being told that you're not new because of your behavior, but on the inside something has changed and you are new, and yet you don't know how to manage all this because nobody ever discipled you, so your whole life is a war. Paul spoke of that war. Listen, the more you hear the gospel, I want to encourage you, hang around, hear the gospel, the more you begin to realize that what God did on the inside of you was good. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he says in the next verse that all these things that became new are of God. Would you say with me this morning, I've got some things that are good and are of God on the inside of me. Come on, say it with me. I've got some things that are good and are of God on the inside of me as a result of putting my faith in Jesus. You hang around, you'll find out it's not your perfection, but faith in His perfection that makes the difference. And that'll produce perfection in your life in time as we walk. And can you say amen? Looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we having the same spirit. Caleb had a different spirit. What were they talking about? Caleb said, wait a minute. He said, hasn't God said? He said, we're more than able to go in and take the land. I don't see it the way they see it. They're looking at the facts. I'm looking at what God promised, and I say that we are able to do exactly what He said. Caleb had a different Spirit. Of course, most of you know the rest of the story. I won't dwell there much longer because we need to move along. We having the same Spirit, look at 4:13, we having the same Spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. Look at Psalms 116, going to do a little repetition here, just kind of catch up, maybe those that have not been with us. Psalms 116, Paul, when he says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, the things that he says, he is actually quoting King David out of Psalms 116. Look at it. Move on down to, see if I can find it. Verse 10. He says, David says, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's one of my favorite scriptures. How can I repay you, God, for all that you've done? I'll lift up a cup and take more. The biggest compliment you can give God is I will take more of what you're given away. Amen. Look at what he said. Paul is quoting then King David. Out of Psalms 116, verse 10, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, for I was greatly afflicted. This is what he's quoting. David had this attitude. Remember King David? The guy that said this? He had this attitude, this spirit of faith. The giant was shouting and declaring to him what he was going to do to Israel. And David was the only man, 17 years of age, in a camp where Israel was cowering. Remember this from a few weeks ago? Israel was cowering. He was the first one to talk back to the giant. The spirit of faith will do some talking back. It comes with an attitude. You'll stand up and when you find out who you are in Christ and what's going on there, you'll begin to do some talking back of your own. Remember our comical explanation of that? Goliath said, and then David said. And then Goliath said, and then David said, and then Goliath said, and then David said, and then Goliath said, and then David cut his head off and Goliath didn't say any more. Keep speaking the word of God. This is the story. Now, I'm not here to spend a lot of time on that, but I want you to hear this. Same spirit of faith. How many know we have, by the Holy Spirit, the same spirit of faith now? We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Mark Hankins said when he was teaching along these lines a number of years ago, he said the Lord spoke to him and told him, observe this and never run at your giant with your mouth shut. Say with me, faith is voice activated. We believe, therefore we speak. How many are getting a hold of this? How many have been doing a little bit more talking, speaking out loud, saying some things, and speaking the word of God? You know, grace is a wonderful thing because it lets us know that if I am hidden in Christ, that's a done deal. If I'm seated together with Him in the heavenlies, that is a done deal. If His favor is towards me, if He's declared over me that as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Was Jesus beloved by the Father? Then you can bet your boots or whatever it is that you're wearing this morning that you are beloved by the Father. Aren't you glad for that? Highly favored and blessed. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, I am highly favored and blessed because of Jesus in my life. Okay? Moving right along. You can't have the spirit of faith without having an attitude. I mean, really, letting this operate, having an attitude that goes along with it. Can you say amen? David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who talks like this against the armies of our God? He was the only one. They thought he was crazy. And of course, they tried to put on all the Saul's armor and put giftings on him and say things over him that didn't fit. He said, just let me out of this. I killed a lion. I killed a bear. The hand of God was with me. And this man too is going down because you don't, I mean, he was the first one to talk back. How many know that same spirit of faith? See, I've got the same spirit. Are you here today? So I'm kind of skipping over some things quickly, but just kind of catch you up. Okay? Joshua and Caleb, as we said earlier, they had that same spirit. We're well able to possess the land. Let us go up at once and take it. I love that attitude. So, for the spirit of faith to work, there must be a believing part. Can you say amen? And there must be a speaking part. I understand some of the confusion about confession and the faith movement, but as I said last week, we better be careful we don't throw the baby out with the bath water. God said that what we say is vitally important. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life, say it with me this morning, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and we're going to eat the fruit that it produces. You don't like the way, somebody said years ago, you don't like the way your life looks and feels today, check out what you have been saying. That's not pointing a finger of condemnation. That's just us observing openly now because of grace without any fear or guilt before God, saying, why aren't certain promises working? I want to help you by the Spirit of God put some things together. We begin to stand up boldly in this same spirit. And I'm telling you, if you're born again, you got it on the inside of you. But you've been duped into believing a lot of junk. And it's caused us to back over into a corner and let the devil browbeat us. And we think we're being religious and holy by just letting the devil just whip us all over the head as we humbly take our beating. Let me tell you something. There's something called the good fight of faith that Paul told Timothy about, in which we stand and we speak the word of God. And I'm so glad, once again, because of grace, because without any fear, perfect love for me has cast out fear. I can stand and declare some things. As I've said the last several weeks, declaring the word of God is perfect prophecy. It's a bullseye every time. When you say what God's word says about your situation, and you speak it with boldness in the face of adversity and everything seeming to go upside down, that is, I mean, I'm telling you right then, you are a prophet and a prophetess. Stand in the presence and by the Spirit of God and say some things. Speak over your grandbaby. Speak over your children. Speak over those around you. Speak over this church. Speak over your finances. Speak over your body. Talk to your foot. Talk to your back. Talk to who you are. Speak some things. This is how God designed it. The same spirit of faith. We believe. Say it with me. We believe, therefore we speak. Now listen, as we're going through this, I realize we got a number of people that are really going through some struggles. The last thing that I want to do is discourage you and go back and set up a litmus test of sorts of faith that your spirituality and your approval and your love before, or your ability to be used by God to bless somebody else, is limited by how good you get this faith thing down. That's what the message of grace should have set us free from. Now, free before God, we can now openly grab a hold, bit by bit, step by step. Are you with me? Line upon line, and grab a hold of truths that are life-changing. You say, well, it's too late for me. If I'd learned this back when I was 40, listen, never say it's too late. God's spoken over those gray hairs in your head. God has spoken over these latter years. God has said some things about you. Watch what is coming out of your mouth. Listen, is it okay if we teach you a little bit? Watch what's coming out of your mouth. Stand and declare the goodness of God in your life, and watch and see the salvation of God. This is what David talked about. The spirit of faith will irritate other people, and you need to realize that. When you're laughing, when you should be crying, according to them. When you're saying some things when you should shut up. When you're staying quiet when they wish you'd speak up. It frustrates people. So be gracious. Be gracious. But stand in that faith. Even when it doesn't seem like it's working for you right now, you stand. You open your mouth boldly. I didn't say in front of everybody, in the middle of everything. Sometimes that's necessary. Most of the time, all you're doing is hitting them over the head with something. But when you get back in your truck or wherever you're at, you let the words fly. We used to wait till we got in a pickup to cuss and curse everybody that we'd just been through whatever with on a job. Now when you get in your truck, instead of cussing and cursing, you can just let the word of God fly. I mean, curse. You want to curse? Curse devils. Curse things that are coming against the work of God in your life. Go ahead and curse like Jesus cursed the fig tree. You want to curse? Curse. I command you to come to naught in Jesus' name. I command your hold over my baby boy. I command your hands to be released off him. I stand boldly today as if I've never spoken it before by faith, and I tell you to take your hands off of him. I mean, speak bold. We doing okay? All right, moving right along. So believing is an attitude of faith. The spirit of faith will give you a supernatural confidence. You can't really have the spirit of faith without having, as we said earlier, having a little bit of an attitude. So it's okay in this case to have a little bit of an attitude. There is going to be a fight. Paul told Timothy, we referenced this a little bit ago, if you want to write this down, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he said, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold, take hold, lay hold on eternal life. How many know that when we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we received at that moment eternal life? Eternal life is not something. John put it this way, because we have confessed him, confessed that he came in the flesh, confessed who he is, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because of that, John said, we have, everybody say have, we have eternal life. Take your hand and put it over your chest right here and say, I have right now. Come on, are you here today? Most of the church world isn't aware of this. This is good news. Say, I have eternal life. Man, it's living and dwelling on the inside of me. That means the life of God, the Zoe, life of God is on the inside of you. Whoo, that's powerful. Most of us don't think or meditate or act like that is actually true. I have to confess to you that I don't walk this way every second of every hour of every day, but I'm doing it more and more and more and more. And the more I do, the more of a difference it makes. And so can you. Amen. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? We have. So here he says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. You got it in you, Tim, but you got to lay hold of some things. There's some things that you are not aware of that took place on the inside of you. Man, you're going to have to get into the Word. You're going to have to find out what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead and you were raised together with him in power. You got to find out what it means to be spiritually in God's eyes, seated in the heavenlies on the right hand of the Father together with Jesus, according to Ephesians 2. Are you here today? I mean, this is where it's at. He said, fight this good fight, whereunto you're called, and you have professed. That word there is homologio in the Greek. Homologio, which means to confess or to say the same thing. Say with me today, faith has a voice. Faith is a voice activated. God didn't just grunt and strain and think and meditate when he created the worlds. It says that the worlds were framed by the word of his power. Woo! That's good news. And we came into salvation, and the way we live is, as Paul has said, we have believed, we have this same spirit of faith. We have believed, and therefore we speak. I want to just over, on purpose, over. We're always talking about getting in a ditch. I'm going to put this in a ditch. Are you okay with that? I'm going to put this in a ditch for a few weeks. We'll get it back balanced. But some of you are over, way over here on this other ditch. I want to get it. Let's go ahead and just pile it all in a ditch today. I mean, let's just pile a furrow in the right-hand ditch on this thing of speaking. Because we've been intimidated and we've justified not opening our mouths and saying things that we need to say. We okay? All right. You ready for the ditch? No, here we go. All right. So, here's the thing. He says this fight is a fight that we're called to. And he said it's a fight telling young Timothy that you have confessed. In other words, you've been saying the same thing. A good profession, confession, saying what God says before many witnesses. This wasn't something that was done occultly. This wasn't something that was done secretly. It was out loud. Can you say amen? Paul didn't say, because of the spirit of faith, that we never have any trouble. I'm just struggling right now. Don't raise your hand. Well, you can if you want to. Struggling. All right. Paul didn't say that because of the Spirit, that we weren't going to have any trouble. It's okay to stand and declare and prophesy and look like a lying fool speaking the word of God when everything in your life, I want to encourage some of you this morning, everything in your life seems to be going backwards. Faith starts with words coming out of your mouth, confidently declaring the word of God. I love Job, who said, even though you slay me, yet will I say, I go down in flames and you're the one who burnt me up. I'm going to go out of here shouting and thanking God. Of course, we learned that Job didn't understand. That's right. Understand? He was so faithful. Do I have the right guy? Job. Yes, I got the right guy. Okay. So here's the deal. All right. Got to check on Bubba, okay? Keep me straight. I appreciate those of you who do. I'm okay. I can handle it. All right? Paul didn't say we weren't going to have any trouble. Look in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians 4. Go back there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Should have kept my finger there like I'm telling you guys to do all the time. That gives you time to get there too, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13. He says, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Can you say amen? But Paul didn't say we weren't going to have any trouble. Back up, if you would, to verse 7, where he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. Whoo, the pressure's off. It's all about Jesus in me. That's why Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That was imparted to you when you confessed Jesus. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. How many know he hadn't quit? One of you figured that out. How many know he hasn't quit? He is the same. All right? Look at what he says. We are troubled. Paul wasn't saying because, Paul did some powerful stuff. But Paul wasn't saying this wasn't going to come without a struggle. Now where is all the shouting? Come on, shout, shout, shout. He says, we are troubled on every side. How many can feel like that this morning? Yet not distressed. I don't think it's a stretch at all that Paul was saying, there's trouble all around me, but I'm not stressed out. When he says, I'm not distressed, the spirit of faith had gotten down on the inside of him. He's getting ready to talk about it a few verses later, and he said, stress will not have any part of me. Have you ever heard yourself say, I'm stressed out? I don't let myself say that anymore. I stopped my wife, honey. We know better. No. No. Don't let that come out of your mouth. Some of you are looking at me like you're like, okay. All right, we'll keep going. There we go. We're troubled on every side, but not distressed. Amen. Look at what he says. We are perplexed. Do you know what perplexed means? I don't know what to do right now. I don't have any answers. Do you know it's okay to not have all the answers? Do you know that you can be in faith and not have all the answers all the time? But I'll tell you something. You've got the answers that you need to get from here to there. Let them fly out of your mouth. Perplexed, he said. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Why were we not in despair? I may not have all the answers, but I serve the one who does. I put my faith in him. I know that this may look like a tunnel without an end, but there's another side coming. I'm holding true. He talks about, look at what he says. Persecuted, but not forsaken, for he has promised. You ever heard this verse before? I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that I can boldly say the Lord. If you don't know what else to say through the next week as we're on this journey of faith, that's one you need to keep in your holster. I know you will never leave me nor forsake me. I can boldly say the Lord is my helper. Shundai, somebody said. Okay, here we go. So, we are perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down. You ever been knocked on your fanny? I've been knocked on your fanny this last week, emotionally, physically, just the whole month, the whole year. Dad's back there raising his hand. I'm so glad Dad's in service with us today. He's raising the left hand. There we go. Let's see that foot, Dad. No, easy. There we go. Okay, so here we go. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Aren't you glad today for the same spirit of faith? Would you say with me today? Say it out loud. Everybody in the room, I have the same spirit of faith. I believe, therefore I speak. You can think about this all you want, but it won't do you much good. It's the Bible way until it comes out of your mouth. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Let's move along. I hope I'm stirring something under deep down underneath your fifth rib, making you uncomfortable, maybe a little mad at me. I don't care. I don't know. I hope I'm stirring something. Get you out of that grace bubble bath. Make some moves. Take some territory. Take the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God, Scripture says, suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. How many know that Paul could teach us some things about handling stress under pressure? How'd you like to have been chained to old Paul during all those years of his ministry and gone through the things that he did? And yet he said, troubled on every side, but not distressed, free from stress. Come on, some of you in here need to reach out, man, physically. How many reach out? Say, I'll take a little of that. I've been duped into speaking stress every day, justifying why I'm stressed, talking about my stress. Come on, cast all your cares. Cast all your cares. Come on, do it by faith today. Let it go. Hear the word of God. Let the waters of the word wash over you today and strengthen you in Jesus' name. People like Paul that have this spirit of faith. And I'm declaring over you as a body today that you're getting a hold of this thing that's already on the inside of you. I love what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. He said, speaking of grace, this thing that I don't quite have a hold of has a hold of me. Therefore, here's how I live. I forget yesterday. And I press on forward towards his belief in me, like Gideon, who was a coward, crouching, hiding in a wine press. And God's word over Gideon, not just a thought, a word. Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. It could have been Gideona, thou mighty woman of valor. Come on, take it, ladies. Are you here today? He's speaking to us. The spirit of faith, of valor on the inside of you. But it comes out when we get a little bit wild. And so people say, Pastor Lee, man, you were fired up. Well, I'm not just putting on a show, I promise. Those of you who know me, in large part, and I don't do this all day long. I am preaching. Paul does call it the foolishness of preaching. But I'm tired of quiet, mealy-mouthed. I like to laugh loud and live loud and talk loud and sing loud because I just can't hardly stand that spirit that wants to justify that creepy thing that just wants us to just... Be bold. Get an attitude. Speak up. Boldness by the blood means you're outspoken. Come on, here today. That's what Hebrews says. Boldness means you're outspoken about what the blood has done for you. That's in your Bible. Read it. Paul was one of those guys that somehow would interpret the devil like this. The devil must be trying to stop me from something really great on the other side of this deal. In fact, this whole adversity thing is just stirring me up to get louder and more forceful because I know something great is on the other side. And this is the guy who lived it. Remember we talked about Paul and Silas in the jail? They had him bound. They whipped them, beat them, threw them in a jail for setting somebody free, delivering somebody from a devil. They're doing the works of Jesus. And they get beaten and they get thrown in prison and they're in stocks and bonds and chains, like I said last week, but they should have taped their mouths shut. Because faith is voice activated. And at midnight, they were heard singing and praising God. And suddenly, the prison began to shake. The doors were thrown open. Bands were loosed. As people in the middle of adversity said, ha, 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 this isn't the end. This is actually the beginning. There's something good on the other side. I want to stir you up. Get an attitude. Get a little swagger. Bob that head a little bit. I got Paul Goldschmidt from the D-backs. Boy, I'm hoping they do better this year. But I like Goldie. I've got his bobblehead with a few others. I love it. We all need to get a little attitude. I can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens me. The Bible says in Hebrews that he that is in faith. Well, bless God, brother, I've been believing and I've been confessing. You know, I've been doing everything I know to do, and I've been speaking the word, and I've been believing, and I've been believing, and I've been believing, and I've been believing, and boy, and I know I'm seated in heaven, but boy, it's rough up there. The Bible says in Hebrews, the one that is in faith has entered into rest. Do you know that you can rest in the middle of a storm? I don't do that very well. I'm learning with you. Somebody get a tin cup, start bailing now. Get that. You know, that's my, just like you. It reminds me of this last week. Side story. Okay, here we go. All right, there we go. All right. He says, we've entered into rest, not distress. Paul said we have the same identical spirit of faith. If we have confessed Jesus as our Lord. Let's do something really, 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 really deep right now. I mean, this is homiletically, hermeneutically, as Jared C. Duplantis says. This is deep. You ready? Raise your hands today. Look heavenward, say, Jesus. You believe that today? Come on, think about that. Think about what that means. You are Lord. You can't do that but by the Spirit of God. And when you're putting him where he belongs, the lordship of your life, when you cease from the wrestling and the straining and the stress, it's so easy. It's a daily battle. It's called the good fight of faith. Daily laying hold. You know the Spirit of God in here right now? When you don't know what else to do, that's what you can do. When you don't know what else to say, that's what you can say. Same spirit of faith. The spirit of faith, as we've said over and over again, is voice activated. Romans 10 says, the word of faith is near you. That means that the answer to your problem isn't way out there somewhere. It's near you. Just like salvation, everything else we receive from God. We believe, therefore we speak. The word of faith is near you, even in your heart. For if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, you know the rest of the scripture, a miracle takes place. This is how we live. It has a voice. We talked about boldly and once last week. I don't want to cover that again. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 17. I want to show you Jesus talked to the downtrodden disciples who thought the whole game was over. Their Messiah, their Jesus, had been killed. And everything was over, they thought. They didn't know that the resurrected Lord had appeared alongside of them and was speaking to them in their hour of need. And scripture says that he showed himself in Moses and the prophets and all of scripture. I want to show you a little picture here of who Jesus is. You ever heard this term? Jesus is the rock. David spoke of the rock of his salvation. Where did these themes and ideas come from? I'm going to give you a picture, just a little picture. Most of you are aware of these things. But turn with me to Exodus 17. Now, here they are because they believe the report, the evil report, wandering in a desert and whining and complaining. Remember calling in the coyotes? How many have stopped calling in the coyotes? How many know what I'm talking about? I love that example from Brother Mark. Okay, Exodus 17. Here we see, and all the congregation, starting in verse 1, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. I think that's hilarious. After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there is no water for the people to drink. I wish I had time to tell you what all the names, all these different names mean. All of these supernaturally have meanings that surround redemption. It's crazy. If you ever have a time to do a word study on these names and their definitions, I'm going to move through because I want to get across my point this morning. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide you with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? Verse 4, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said, that's how come we know Moses. No, I better not say that. I'm going to stop right there. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the Lord and take with you the elders of Israel and thy rod. Okay, this is a picture, okay, of the word, thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock. I will stand. The Father is speaking. God in heaven is telling Moses, I will stand before you in that time. Okay, I will stand before you upon the rock. Where is God positioning himself for Moses? God himself is saying, I'm going to position myself on the rock. Think about that in terms of new covenant redemption. Think about what's getting ready to happen here. And he says, behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. And there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so. So in the sight of the elders of Israel, he did the same. This is what he did. He smote water. Do you know that there is, I can't think of the guy's name. There are some guys that have done, I've got some videos at home that have gone to these different places in the East and have found archaeological remains that verify these stories incredibly, from the wall of Jericho falling in on itself, supernatural, no explanation whatsoever, straight down in. This place, I remember seeing video of a place in the middle of the desert without any reason, a rock where there had been obvious flow of water, everything that they looked at, and yet no water there today, in the middle of a desert, in the same general area that the Word of God. How many know the Word of God is true and it's supernatural? And so these things aren't that hard to find. Nevertheless, here we see that Moses strikes the rock. I think it's interesting that God says, I'll be before you. I'm going to be there on the rock. How many know that God sent his Son to be stricken and smitten of men? He, who is the rock of our salvation, would be beaten. And by his stripes. Come on, are you here this morning? By his stripes. We are healed. God, the Father, in the Son, submitted himself willingly. Philippians 2 tells us, thinking it not robbery to be equal. This is King James terminology. He's saying It was part of who he was to be equal with God, the Son. In all of his kingly glory, he set it aside, Philippians 2 says, and humbled himself and became a man. Obedient. Became a servant. Paul starts out that chapter saying, let this same attitude, let this mind also be in you, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's talking about an attitude of servanthood. And he talks about how that Jesus humbled himself and became a man, became obedient even unto the death of the cross. And through that work, obtained the name that is above every name, that is named in heaven, named in earth, and under the earth. You know the scripture well. Jesus, or the Father in Jesus, took the hit for you and I. For God, John 3:16, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have, John says, eternal life. Say it one more time, I have eternal life. Living on the inside of me right now. Okay? Isaiah 54 says that he turned his back on his Son, but for a moment. He was rejected, despised of men, Isaiah 53 says. Smitten, beaten for you and I. But can everybody repeat the words of Hebrew with me? Once. Religion wants you to keep believing that you were not resurrected with a risen Lord. I grew up a good part of my teenage years in Guatemala. I've got brothers and sisters. One sister was born and raised here. My brother Caleb that's here. His wife Fatima from Honduras was raised from 6 months of age on the mission field. You see their Catholicism mixed with witchcraft, especially in Guatemala, where penance is crawling on your knees for hundreds of yards, maybe longer. I mean, horrible things. Crawling up steps where glass is strewn out across. I mean, penance, paying the price, going through, paying the price, us always being in a state of, you know, of sin consciousness and repentance and everything. Hebrews says that those who put their faith in Jesus, who did this once, that in those worshipers there should remain no more conscience of sin. People, we still haven't tapped into that yet. Therefore, Paul put it this way in Romans 8:1, therefore, if any man is in Christ, there's therefore now no condemnation. I'm so used to the other one, I keep going there, my groove. There is therefore now no condemnation, no fear of punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. This is his gospel. Okay. Here we have Jesus who took the hit. Everybody say it with me. Once. In doing this, he sat down. The first priest, high priest to ever do this. It is finished. He uttered the words from the cross. Okay, jump with me over to Exodus 20, and you'll see a picture here of Christ in the rock. Numbers 20. We're in Exodus 17. Go with me over to Numbers 20. Almost like it's deja vu. Numbers 20, verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation. How many have been there? It's like we never learn. I mean, the man of God stood and struck a rock and water flowed out of it in the middle of a desert. And everybody drank to their full and their needs were supplied. And yet a few weeks or a few months go by and there we are whining again. I want to help you in this series to get rid of, lose the wine, stop calling coyotes and begin to stand and prophesy. Are you here today? Look at what it says. Here we are. It's like it's happening all over again. They've already forgotten. Israel's a picture of you and me. That's why I'm encouraged when I read about Israel, how God loved Israel, had a plan, and has a plan. Aren't you glad for that? Okay, so here we go. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation under the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh and Miriam. That all these names have incredible meanings that flow right in with the redemption. This book is supernatural, people. You could not put this together the way it is. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chided. They started giving them a hard time. The people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. If I'd have known how hard it was going to be. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness? Why are we here? We'd have been better to have never even started. Boy, the devil's slick. And wherefore have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring? I mean, you ever been in an argument with your spouse and you thought you'd taken care of a few things? And in that argument, everything that's happened over the past 30, 40 years is brought into a big pile right in the living room. Don't look at me like that. You've all been there. I notice the men are laughing more than the women. That tells us some things, but we don't have time for that right now. Okay, here we go. All right. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared on them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now listen close, there's going to be a change. Say with me today, the rock was struck once. 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 Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, and Aaron thy brother, and speak. Say what? Somebody needs to highlight that in yellow, circle it, double, triple, underline it, put an exclamation point in the little divider between the two columns in that page. Mine's on the left page. You need to look at what it says. He says, see, something changed. He was smitten once, and from then on, you were to talk to the rock. Not talk to the hand, talk to the rock. All right, here we go. Look at what he says. He says, and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. It shall give forth his. Did you notice what he said? It shall give forth his. Everybody say his. It shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them out of the rock, water out of the rock, so shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. My God, I've been here before and I know how this works. Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod he smote the rock twice. Notice the word twice is noted. Whack. Do it again. It ain't working. Let's do it again. I mean, whack. Would you look at how gracious God is? Would you look at how gracious... Is anybody reading your Bibles with me right now? Look what happened. God didn't say, you rotten little sucker. I thought we got this done. Y'all can just stink and die of thirst. See if I care. Disobedience. Wanted to get in on the act, share the glory. But God still had mercy. Can you lift up your hands today all over the room? Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. When I'm arrogant and self-willed, water comes out. Now, we're in the old covenant. These are pictures of what would be. There's a consequence coming. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron and said, because you believed, everybody underline in your Bibles, I hope you're looking at this stuff, because you believed. Notice he didn't, he could have said this way first. So give you an insight into who the Father is. He didn't say, because you struck the rock when I said speak. He could have chose that line. What he said straight up, first order is, because you believed me not. And then he says something really interesting. To sanctify me. Set me apart. Honor me. Glorify me. Trust my word. That when you spoke, this is what it would have looked like. Moses stood and says, the Lord told me to speak. And he speaks to the rock and water begins to gush out. And all the people stand and look and say, look, Moses didn't do anything. Moses did not do anything but obey. He obeyed and believed and spoke and water gushed forth. God, you are good. We've fallen our knees before you because you are the great Jehovah. You are the great God of the universe. You are the one, huh? Look at what God is saying. He said, you failed to sanctify me in the eyes. You know that when you stand in the face of diversity, when you stand in the face of diversity, that too, when you stand in the face of adversity and trouble, quit laughing at me, Lori, that's not nice. When you stand with everything hitting you and you begin to open your mouth and speak, do you realize right there, you are glorifying. The word there is sanctify. You are glorifying God in one of the most deepest, strongest expressions of faith there is. That's powerful stuff. He said, therefore, thou shalt not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses, because of this act, did not go over into the promised land. Now, I love the beauty if you read on. God does, though, take Moses on a high hill and sits down and say, listen, buddy, there's a picture here beyond what you can understand. But let Dad sit here with you and show you some things. It's all going to be yours anyway. You're part of the process. But there's a plan here, and it's all about Jesus. You can't go, but I'm going to show it to you. Think of who he is, even under the old covenant. That's beautiful. What I don't want you to miss is this, the rock, a symbol, a type, a shadow of Jesus, was to be struck once. When you beat yourself and beat yourself and beat on others and beat on others for their failures and their sin, for your own failures and your own sin, do you know that it is a type of striking the rock twice? You are to believe what he has done. Simply like a child, in all of your mess, in all of your failure, speak to the rock. And in that, he is glorified, sanctified, honored, and I guarantee you, can you say that in church? Water will flow. How many in here this morning needing some water in some areas? Speak to the rock. Open your mouth. Struck once. Once for all, Hebrews says. Now, we have the same spirit of faith. We believe. Therefore, we speak. You getting anything out of this today? I pray that you are. We need to open our mouths boldly and declare. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I declare out loud in song, I will lack no thing. Then he begins to speak of resting in the same place he feeds. He speaks of being led by still waters. He speaks of a cup that runs over. He speaks of a table of bounty in the middle of enemies. He speaks of the rod and the staff that comfort and protect. He speaks. The Lord is my shepherd. One more time today. Another way of saying, Jesus, you are Lord. Can we lift our hands all over the building? Say with me, Jesus, you are my shepherd. You just said, you are my Lord. I'll lack no thing. Prophesy. I heard this once, wrote it down. I don't know where it came from, but I love it. Stop telling God how big your mountain is. And start telling the mountain about how big your God is. That's Mark 11:22-25. We'll get there, probably not today. Faith has a body language. You know, think of what God told Jeremiah. He said, don't look at their faces. And let me tell you what, sometimes that's a struggle as a preacher because the faces, you know, the faces, the I know more than you do face. I think you're stupid face. I'm bored face. Would you hurry up and shut up face? Said, don't look at their faces. But tell them what I told you to say. The simplest definition of faith is act on what you believe. When you believe something, you'll act on it. Believe is a verb, action. Faith is action. It's actually, can I be a little facetious? It's actually acting like you believe that the Bible is true. Faith is voice activated. And it also is activated through actions. In other words, how would you act if you believed, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, according to Isaiah 53:4-5? How would you act if you believed that? How would you act if, like David in Psalms 27 said, the Lord is the strength of my life? How would you act? I remember my dad telling the story. I wasn't there. It was a few months before I got there, I believe, about Brother Vicente. I'm with you guys. I'm learning with you. But faith is much more than this little cute little package that we put together in church. And we talk about grace, and we talk about faith, and we talk about this, and we talk about... faith is the just shall. We've said it all through this series. The just shall live by faith. Vicente Gomez got a hold of this. And for how many nights at a crusade, open crusade with hundreds of people, there was a crippled man they brought in a wheelbarrow. How many nights in a row? Three nights in a row, Brother Vicente grabbed this man, stood him up like a fool, commanded him to walk. And while people snickered and laughed and looked at him like he was an idiot, three different nights walked him around that auditorium with nothing and laid him back down in the barrel. Dad, true story, Honduras, San Pedro Sula, where was it at? So basically, San Pedro Sula, greater area. The third night, on completing the circle, the man did what? Stood up and began to walk before the people. I want to encourage you tonight that failure, at least what the world's looking at, and you looking like a fool, does not mean the end of anything. I couldn't help it. Whew. Oh, have you ever felt like a fool? Speak in faith. Stand and prophesy. I love the Job's attitude, man. In all his ignorance, he thought God was just whipping his tail. Even if you kill me, man, I'm going to love you. If I go down in flames, I'm still going to worship you and honor you. What a heart. No wonder he got God's attention. No wonder he sent Elihu to tell him God does not afflict. I don't know what else you're getting out of this whole story, but I'm here to tell you, buddy, God's not the one behind your suffering. Read your Bible. Job 42. That'll mess with your religion. How would you act if you believed my steps, Psalms 37, are ordered of the Lord? If I got up today, Herb, and I said, God, I know that my steps are ordered of the Lord. I am laying hold in this fight of faith with young Timothy of eternal life that is on the inside of me, and I believe that my steps are ordered of God. Wherever I'm going today, I'm expecting divine appointments. Watch as things begin to pop and fizzle. Get ready for adversity. But that ought to just stir you up, man. I'm going. Okay? How would you act if you believed no weapon? Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against me will prosper. How would you act right now if you believe that? I want to stir you. Grace, the beauty of grace, to know that there's no hitch between me and my Father. There's no more fear. There's no more worrying about His approval. There's no more worrying about what He thinks about me. He loves me. He's for me. Even in my failure and in my success, He loves me and He's for me. So now, as I start my day, I, by faith, grab a hold as much as I can of this truth. No weapon being formed against me today, this week, this month, no weapon formed against me will prosper. It will not succeed in its endeavor. It will fizzle and melt before the anointing of God on my life. Psalms 5:12 declares that the favor of God surrounds us like a shield. Were we whipped? How many of you guys went to Joyce Meyer's conference a week ago? Her book, The Battle of the Mind, it's a good one. You ought to get a hold of it. If the devil can deceive you here, he's got you everywhere. Get a hold of truth. It doesn't happen overnight. James said the tongue speaks of a small rudder that turns around mighty ships. You ever seen a ship turn? It looks like it's not even moving. But once the rudder has been set, it's moving. You turn your back for a half hour or so, you turn back and say, what in the world? That mighty ship. It may not look like anything's turning or changing, but get your rudder right. Begin to speak life. We have. Come on, say it with me this morning. I have. Come on, say it with me like you mean it. I have this same spirit of faith. Therefore, I believe. Let me back up. I believe. Therefore, I. Woo! That's good news. Man, I wished I had another hour. Let's finish with this. Acts 27. How many remember years ago, the first time I do, I walked into a bathroom. Most of us, it happened to us in an airport. You walked into a bathroom, and there were all these sinks with no handles. You stand there, and you look at that in wonderment. What do you do? So somebody walks in who knows and sticks their hand under the faucet. And water comes out. You remember the sign that used to say, you don't see it anymore. Equipment, motion, activated. So if a dum-dum like me back then could scratch my head, stand back and notice the thing and go, okay, somewhere something's got to happen. Reach underneath a towel. How many have done that? Reach under a towel. Even now, I mean, some of these, everybody's got their own setup. And so you're like, you're just in there like an idiot doing this. Hit it a few times and then doing this. Your faith, let me finish with this. Your faith is voice activated. Faith has action. It's motion activated. Voice first. And when you believe, there's motion. Some of us need to, in the middle of our struggle, do a little bit of waving. Come on, are you here today? Do a little bit. little waving. I will lift up my hands unto the God of my salvation. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me from his holy hill. I'm grabbing a hold. Listen, are you here today? Say with me, faith is awesome. Because of Jesus, I'm righteous. And his word says that I can live by faith. Come on, are you here today? Say it with me. I can live, not just exist, live by faith. Coexist, hooey. Live the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hate that bumper sticker anyway. Okay, here we go. Acts 27. I'm not going to take you and read the whole chapter. You can read it in your own. I'm going to just pull a few things out and we'll pick up here next week. You've been blessed so far? I hope I've got you stirred up, fired up. Listen to Paul. Acts 27. Let's just go there. And we'll end right here. Paul. Boy, how he exemplified the spirit of faith. Acts 27. Man, I don't have time for all this. When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, and entering into a ship of Edramidium, we launched and meaning to sail to the coast of Asia, one of Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends and to refresh himself. So he's a prisoner. He's on a ship, okay? And there the centurion found the ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against us, snide us, the wind not suffering us, we sailed into Crete over against Salmone, or whatever, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Heavens, nigh unto was the city of Lasia. So this is a real voyage. This is not a story. It's an account of a real voyage, real people like you and me on a journey, and not the best of circumstances. And hardly passing, came to a place which is called the Fair Heavens, whereunto is the city of Lasia. And now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven, in other words, Paul had a warning by the Spirit of God. They went ahead and went anyway. And when the south wind blew, verse 13, softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. After not long, after there arose against it a tempestuous wind, called, and it gives the name. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, which we had much come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. This is a storm that lasted 14 days. And we being exceedingly tossed with tempest, the next day they lightened up the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands, tackling the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in the days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have listened to me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gain in this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, and there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. I love that. The angel of God, whose I am. Do you know who you am? I can't wait to get there. And whose you are? Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. That's irritating. We're all going to die. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. And this arrogant spirit of faith stands up and says, cheer up. Laugh a little. It's going to be okay. Some of us need to learn to laugh at the devil. I'll never forget interpreting for a guy by the name of Jerry Vaughn on the coast of Guatemala. We were in a service full of Mom Indians. And I'm interpreting for him. I was new to all of this stuff. I was only, 17? And I'm interpreting for this missionary, relatively new missionary, and he's just preaching this faith stuff. And the more he preached, the more embarrassed I got. And the more I was like, oh God, here it comes. We got to the end of the service and he says, I'm going to do things a little bit different. He said, the Lord told me that there are some people in here. You need a miracle. You need a touch of God in your life. Let me show you. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he took a few verses of scripture and he said, how many of you in here need prayer for your bodies? Well, of course, half the group moves up. And I remember two of them were twins and they're about 30 years of age, two twins that had visible hernias because they showed it to us right in front of everybody. Right there in the altar line, had visible hernias. And here's what Jerry Vaughn did. He said, now what we're going to do, I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to thank God for healing a manifestation. And he said, then we're going to laugh. And I thought, oh, God. I was so embarrassed. And so we prayed. And those two little Indian brothers standing there along, just standing there praying. They prayed with us. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed. Now let's laugh at the devil. Ha, 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 ha. And I'm supposed to be interpreting. I wanted to go hide in a hole. Until one of those little guys, both of them, were totally miraculously healed right there in front of our eyes. Okay, I was there, 17 years of age. Watched it happen. In my humiliation and embarrassment, but following the orders of the man I was interpreting for, I wanted to hide. While I'm standing there, I watched one of them little guys it just was true. I mean, you preach Jesus, I receive Jesus, I take it. Boy, that simplicity, how we've lost it. But we can get it back. The just shall live. Okay. I stood there and watched that first little guy pull his shirt out. I mean, right there in front of him, pull his shirt out. And I mean, no shame. And he's just in wonderment. He said, it's gone. He said, se fue. Sifwe, the little old Indian guy, Dad will never forget as long as I live. Sifwe, right there in front of everybody, two twin brothers. Now I got a question for you. Is the God of Guatemala different than the God of Chino Valley? No. Faith, man, it's a radical journey. It's beautiful. This is what we're called to. But Paul told Timothy, whereunto you are called, and you have confessed, a confession before many witnesses, the good fight of faith. You say, man, Pastor Lee, you just told that last story. I mean, that just makes me like, oh, I'm never going to get there. No. Remember striking the rock in disobedience and water flowed? Now in Jesus, listen, he's there to help you work through this process. You don't have to do that yet. Just start where you're at and trust him today. Start speaking what you know, growing in what you know. Let's get this big ship turning. I mean, ever so, get it slowly turning. And watch as your destiny in him begins to come to light. How many in here believe in new beginnings? Oh, we love that. That's the making of movies and romance novels. Do you believe God has a new beginning for you? There's the question. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, let's speak to it. Father, we speak. Would you join your hand over this way? Extend your hands. Father, we speak to this hernia in Jesus' name.